It's time for the Dynamics Podcast. My name is Fadlik Sartre, and joining us today are Mirza Abdik and Lars Bo Christensen from Microsoft. They're going to show everything's new in Power BI on supply chains, and we're going to have a great time talking about the newest solution when it comes to Power BI integration. I'm going to show how to publish, how to create, and how to edit these reports. So stay tuned.
This is the Dynamics Podcast, Episode 14, recorded April 18, 2017. Data Warehouse and Power BI, with Mirza Abdij and Lars Bo Christensen.
It's time for the Dynamics Podcast. My name is Felix Sartre, and joining me today is my always lovely traveling mate. It's Tommy Skiba. Hello, Tommy.
Hi, Frederick. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Just recovering from our trip. Did you have a nice time?
The trip was nice, and we just had an Easter vacation here in Norway, so I had a couple of days to get myself back on the horse again.
Yeah, that's real nice. And while we were down there, we bumped into this other guy from Microsoft, and I think we'll just have him on the show. So here's Mirza. Hi, Mirza.
Hello, guys.
And joining us also is Bo Christensen from Microsoft.
Hello.
Hi. So, introduce yourself, guys. You can start, Mirza. Who are you, and what do you do, and how'd you get there?
Yeah, so my name is Mirza, and I'm working in Microsoft R&D in Copenhagen. So, it's a Dynamics 365 for Operations Development Center, and I'm responsible for WMS functionality, one of three guys, basically guilty, you can say, for all of the WHS functionality we have out there today. And was with Microsoft 7 years. Before that, I worked a little bit in Sweden for the SEM company, also doing some software and software engineering and architecture. So that's me.
Yeah, and Lars Bo?
Yes, hello, my name is Lars Bo. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft. I've been there for a decade, actually 15 years. So I've been working both with NAV and AX, or now called Operations. Been working in the supply chain management area for the last 5 years, and for the last half year working on the Power BI project.
Yeah, the Power BI project, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So the Power BI is really ramping up to be one of like the core functionalities now of Dynamics 365 for Operations, and all these dashboards are coming, and it was also introduced at Summit EMEA. And we're going to look at that today. So maybe you should share your screen, and we'll have a look at what you, before you can maybe start talking about the background for this. But why do we need like a dashboard for this, and what's in it?
So as we know, AX, as it was called before, now Dynamics 365 Operations, was including few cubes that you could use for the Power BI, and there was a role centers and you know whatnot, based on some SharePoint functionality. And then when the Power BI came out, then of course, as all other products, because of the Microsoft that we have as a philosophy today, we have as well from the Dynamics 365 angle, we jumped on the train and have been including some Power BI packs for the different areas of the SCM functionality for Dynamics 365. And specifically, the special one, not because I'm working for WMS part, but it's WMS Power Pack that me and Lars Bo worked heavily on. And the reason is because we didn't have any, basically, BI for the warehousing at all. There was no any cube. There was basically nothing. So we decided to change that, and we have lifted a lot of data that Lars will explain a little bit more about. And we also have developed a Power BI pack for warehousing. We have developed one for the production. Then we have one for the sales, and we have also one for procurement. And we have one for costing. So this evening we will be concentrating about architecture itself and how does that function. And that will be covered by Lars, I hope. And then we have lots of to talk about warehousing pack as such, and we have a live machine that we can demo stuff live and then explain this red thread through the Power BI pack that we have created for warehousing and other Power BI packs. So I think it will be interesting.
Super. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Okay, so Lars, would you like to tell us about the architecture and deployment and what version it has been released for?
Yes, I can do that. So what you see here on the slide is the architecture for Dynamics operations and how it's kind of connecting together with Power BI. So where you actually start is, of course, in Dynamics operations, where you have your operational data or transactional data. And what happens there is that you would configure, you have some entities in AX where you set up, okay, which data do we want to push actually to the AXDW database, what we call the data warehouse database. So the naming of this is actually called aggregated measurements. And that means that, okay, you set up X number of tables and bind them together into an aggregated measurement. And you could do some calculations on those, simple calculations in AX. And then you actually are setting up a batch job to push that data into the AXDW database. And that's what you see here with the arrow. Call deploy. So you deploy the content of the AX data into the data warehouse database. So whenever you have all your data pushed to the AXDW database or data warehouse database, then you would be able from Power BI to access that data into that database. So the next step in the setup would be that you go to this LCS on your setup. And pick one of the content packs we released. It could be the sales, it could be the production, the warehouse, and the last one is the purchase or procurement. Yes, this is the slide where, so you can see here all the packs that are actually released for operations. What happens here is that this is the shared asset library on the LCS. So what you do here is you actually pick one of these packs and then kind of import it into your own environment. Whenever you have the pack inside your own environment, then you would be able to actually set up the, there's some settings you need to do in the operations where you say, okay, you bind together the data warehouse database with a connection string to the Power BI. So you actually bind together the PowerBI.com credential account thing together with the AXDW database. So this means that you now would be able to access the data you published to the AXDW database.
So the AXDW database, is that's something that is new to this architecture? Or is...
Yes, it is. It's something we have in lying next to the transactional database there, but it only contains what we define in our aggregated measurements that should be published to that database. So it's of course a limited set of data, but it's up to the user or the developer to define how these aggregated measurements should look. How what fields do you want to publish and things like that.
Can I ask? So do you have to install like the connector yourself on the to use the direct query or how does that work?
So what happens here is that what you see here, what we talked about in the asset library, we have these content pack released. So these are developed with the tool called Power BI Desktop tool. So what we actually do here, we actually are using a standalone tool which you install on your local box, and then you access, set up a connection string to this local AXDW database. So, and based on that, you actually get access to all the data in the data warehouse database. And then you build your different reports and pages and visualizations in this tool. So I think you had a slide, Mirza, or could show how that looks with with the content pack. So if I go to what I talked about earlier about the aggregated measurements, we actually don't worry about the name. We have something called entity store here. This is actually where we have all our aggregated measurements located. So you only see one entry here, which contains a set of underlying table and fields. It could be a table, it could be a view, it could be an entity, but it actually binds together. For example, for the warehouse, I have a set of underlying views and tables here, it could be work and it could be sales lines, it could be outbound work and stuff like that. So what, whenever I have this aggregate, what I do is I do a refresh here, and what it actually does, if I just click OK here, it will just kind of publish the data from within that aggregated measurement one time. But what you would normally do in a production environment, you would set up a batch job here, so it would be running every 15 minutes or an hour or during a night or something like that, depending on what you actually want with the current Power BI pack. So this is how you would set it up, how often it should publish the data.
So you, where do you go? That is on system administration, and then under setup, there's a new menu now called Entity Store.
Yeah, it's actually called Entity Store. Yeah, you would see that from Plat Update 4. Yes.
Yeah. So at Update 4, we got all this. So is this a part of the new Power BI interface solutions, that these dashboards that are coming? It's built on that, or is this only for warehouse?
So this is part of the new Power BI stuff that was created, so you can kind of include that in the workspace. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Like either can contain a simple or a single visualization from the content pack, or it could contain a link to the whole Power BI report.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's what
going forward in the next release, we would be able to have a form that is embedding the Power BI content pack.
All right.
Lars, if I could jump in with a couple of questions here before you continue. So anyone who has invested in understanding how to develop the perspectives and the cubes from AX 2012, can they sort of utilize that knowledge in this version of AX to build on that?
So it's actually interesting you mentioned this, because actually what we have here already is we have a sales. If I look at the sales, you would see sales cube, and the same goes for the purchase. So what actually happened here is the existing 2012 sales cube and purchase cube and what else we had there is upgraded into AX7 operations. So these haven't really changed at all. So what happens here is for the sales cube, whenever we publish that, it's an upgraded cube from 2012, where we just take the data there and publish that into the data warehouse database. That being said, some part of the sales cube, if I go to analytics here, perspective, the aggregate measurements, there's part of these which is not upgraded and not used. So remember that we have the MDX language that is not supported anymore. And that's actually why we move into the Power BI, because it has its own DAX language where we define whatever was defined earlier in the MDX language on a cube here is now something you move to Power BI to build the same logic there.
Right. All right, so this is kind of like a port of the same, to get the same type of analytical data, but we're missing some of the functionality because SSAS is not being used, we're looking now in this is Visual Studio. We're in the development environment, and we're actually looking at, it looks like the same from the sales cube that we had in 2012.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I mentioned here was this MDX language. You can see here on the expression, right? You have the old MDX language here. So it actually just upgraded everything that was inside that. But in this case, the calculated measurements you see here have no value at this point anymore. Right. So it's not something that is published anywhere or are going any further from here. It's just part of the cube, but it's not brought forward to Power BI or anything like that.
So it's going to be engineered, re-engineered, and changed to.
Yeah, that is actually what we have done inside the content pack itself.
All right. Yep. Mm.
But it's like an evolvement of the existing technology. Now it's if you were the BI king in X2012, you're not going to get completely lost here.
No, not at all.
Mm. So the other thing I wanted to ask is so when you do this batch job you set up to push the data, can you talk a little bit about the performance? How much data can it push?
Yeah. So right now with the common platform bits we have in place, what it is doing right now is that it's doing a full synchronization of all the data within, for example, this sales script. So what happened here is that it will push all the data from the customers, the release product, and whatever you see here, and that could be quite a lot, of course, depending on how the ranges and filtering is set. What the current performance right now is that they say that you should not do synchronization more often than 15 minutes. Because it's doing a full synchronization. And of course, depending on data. Right now, on our demo database, it synchronized everything, all cubes and everything in within 8 minutes. But this is, of course, limited in the amount of data. So what is going forward, they are going to try to support or will support what we call incremental updates. So it's only changes or to existing records or newer records, of course, that would be pushed. So that would, of course, mean that it's only the first time it will take a long time to synchronize. But after that, you would, of course, be able to do the synchronization more often and get closer to real-time data.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah. So whenever you have published your data through this one, I will just show you how the warehouse pack is working. So this is actually the tool I installed called the Power BI Desktop tool. And this is one of the four packs we have built, which contains of, this is one report, and it contains of three pages. That's the terminology you use in Power BI. These are the pages here in the bottom, and you have a report here. And each of these kind of elements inside here are called visualizations. And going into the visualization and how they are bind together and all these things, it's a big story. You have all the fields over here. Maybe I should start with what the first thing you would do after publishing the data to the AX Data Warehouse. You would go to this get data and then do the SQL Server. You would connect to the SQL Server where the data is. In this case, I would just point, now I have everything locally here, and then I would use this kind of direct query language. The difference between the import and the direct query language is simply that direct query means that you would query against the data in that database. If you do an import, you would do the same, but what it does that it would take a copy of the data, or it would take a copy of the data in the data warehouse database and put it into the content pack itself. Mm. And for performance reasons and other reasons, we are in operations, we are using the direct query here.
Yes, so just for the guys who are listening, we're in the Power BI, and you have like a dashboard up right here, which is the shipping performance dashboard, and we're looking. You're connecting now to the data?
Yeah. So just to not confuse about terminology, yeah. It's wrong to call it dashboard here. The report. Dashboard is a different thing in Power BI. Yeah. So what you see here is a shipping performance page inside a report. So when you talk about dashboard in Power BI is when you actually kind of taking a simple or single visualization, it could be like this. Then you can, whenever it's published to Power BI, you can take that and pin it to a dashboard.
Right.
That means that you could take one visualization from this page and one visualization from that page, and a new visualization from a totally different content pack and pin it into the dashboard. So you can actually combine a number of content packs and visualizations into a dashboard. So just not to confuse the terminology here.
Yeah. Thanks.
That was a beautiful explanation. Thank you, Lars.
Good. Thanks. So back to the Git data. So now I connect to the warehouse database.
The obvious thing is that probably people are thinking about, what about security now? Because you're using direct query now directly to the data warehouse.
Yeah. So you need to set up a connection between Power BI and the AXDW database. So you actually are providing, you need to have a user in PowerBI.com, which actually have credentials or have access to the AXDW database. So you actually have a connection string between those two. So we are not able to use the AX security system. We are still in a situation where we would have two different security systems. So you need, whoever will be able to access the data inside the Power BI content pack, you need to set those users up in PowerBI.com and say, okay, this and this user are allowed to view this content pack or this report.
So you do that for each content pack, but the general is that you have direct access to all the data basically based on these credentials.
Yeah, you could say that for each content pack, you can specify either a group or user that would be able to access that content pack. And then there's a connection string inside that content pack that are kind of pointing to the AXDW database.
Is that encrypted or could you open up that? So,
yeah, it will be encrypted. And you, of course, you need to be able to log into PowerBI.com to set that up. There would be users and there would be administrators in Power BI, which can do these things. There are, of course, challenges with this security and how to bind it together with AX credentials. So we need to find a story for. So the costing, we have a costing pack which are actually handling row level security in a different way. But I think this is would have its own session for how to handle that.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks.
So what you see here is you can use the credential here, and you could also do a database user to access this. No, let's just go with the Windows on my local box now here. You saw here there was actually, I'm sorry, an encryption message here.
Yep. Very good. No open passwords, right?
Yeah. So what you actually see here now is my AXDW database, and they actually contains all my deployed and published aggregated measurements. So you would see all the tables and views inside here. I could of course just search for the warehouse like this.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this already assumes that you have previously published from AX.
Correct.
Yeah.
By default, we have added the schema for our current aggregate measurements, but it will not contain any data. So you need to go refresh the data to get data into these tables.
Okay, so you'll have the schema, but not the data.
Yeah. So when I click this one, you would see kind of a preview of 10 rows with inside the work lines for the warehouse. So, and then you would only select the tables which you want to use in the current content pack. You can see there's a bunch of them, but you might want to just create a content pack which are working or doing something with the work lines, for example, and then work create data and work. You could kind of maybe just pick these, and then you would be able to just do whatever you want in that report.
All right.
Okay.
So, I just want to close this one because I already did all that stuff inside this content pack. If I go to edit queries, I think it is, if I do remember correct, you can see here all the things all the tables I already added to this content pack.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things to explain and show inside this desktop tool, but I actually don't want to go into that. I think we should have a separate session on how to actually work inside this Power BI tool.
Yep.
Yeah, basically it's standard Power BI. So anyone who is fluent or know how do you operate Power BI, they will find themselves familiar to this.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see here we have one important thing just to mention here is that you would only use or have the fields that you would actually use inside the pack. So you can actually go and then delete the fields here, which will improve the performance. So remember, it's not like you are deleting anything from the data warehouse database or anything like that. It's only what is used inside the Power BI report. So you should clean up as much as possible here.
Have you done a lot of cleaning here, or does it come like this?
No. You can see here the naming of the fields are more readable. So you can just do an alias of the field here. So what we renamed most of the field here, and then we actually for the warehouse pack we didn't clean up a lot of things because that was added from scratch. So it's a new pack and the aggregate measurement is new. There's not a lot of cleanup here. But for the sales cube, for example, there was a lot of things which we didn't need. So there was quite a lot of cleanup there. And the naming of the field was also kind of a big chunk of work. So one, just a quick example of this is counting orders fully shipped. You can see here, just to show you, this is kind of how the equivalent to the MDX language is the DAX language. So this is just an example of a DAX command. So it's counting and then it's filtering based on a field on a given table.
It count AX, that command that you're using there, is that?
It's nothing to do with AX. It's a DAX thing, and it's just the X is just an kind of an extended version where you can add extra commands inside the count. There we
go. Yeah, so it's just count AX.
It has an aggregate expression, right?
Inside DAX, which basically doesn't have anything.
And there's AX, and there's plenty of commands to use here. So go look that up in MSDN.
Very nice.
Right.
I don't want to go any deeper into the language here unless you have any questions.
Oh yeah.
No, this is one of the content packs that's available from LCS. And
correct.
Is there like an continued life cycle with the content pack? Are you gonna like do any continued improvements on the packs and release new versions of it? And what are your plans there?
Yeah, I think absolutely. We will ship a new version here together with the embedded versions. But I think also Mirza can kind of come in here and say more about that. We are waiting, of course, for the first bulk of customers to look into this and give us feedback on what brings value and what else, what are we missing? And maybe some of it doesn't really bring any value at all, and then we can remove it. But I think Mirza maybe can elaborate on this.
So the publishing of this.
Yeah, so I can just talk to that because he's showing the screen right now. So the last step you want to do in this tool we just saw is to hit the, whenever you kind of finished and with your report and content pack, we're adding the visualization and all this stuff and made it look very nice. The last thing you're doing is clicking a publish button there. What will happen there is it would actually use whatever credentials you have, exactly what we see here on the powerbi.com. You need to be logged in with that, and then you publish it into a workspace. I can see there's the Danish translation here. It will take the whole content pack and just put it inside this workspace area here, and that is where you see the list of the different content packs here, and there would be a connection string between these different things pointing to the database you have on the LCS in the end whenever you do that. So this is a kind of a working area we have been working in. So it points to local dev boxes, so it might not be all of them working, but all the demo box, the demo ones we know are for sure working. So Mirza, take over about the...
Yes. Thank you, Lars. So I will be walking you quickly through the demo Power BI packs that we have created and published. It's publicly available. And I will be concentrating more in detail. We don't have that much time for the warehousing pack, why we have these BIs that we have. And I will also walk you quickly through a look and feel of the other ones. So if we start with the sales, so we have some demos as we can see up. So if we say sales and profitability performance, so we have, this is a Power BI pack released for the sales and profitability performance. And it's based, as Lars has been explaining, on the new, on the old, basically Sales Cube, where we have done basically rework and adapted it to the Power BI, and then out of that data, we created the visualizations. As you can see down here, we have lots of pages. So we have revenue by customer, revenue by product. There is also revenue by period. We have a page for revenue by location, which is including the Bing Maps. So it's basically giving board tree map view and the heat map view of map. Basically, it's a map based view. And then we have a customer profitability, and we have a very nice scatter diagram for the customer profitability, which will be useful for many. And we have profitability analysis in general. Going back to the other ones, we can go to the purchase. We have, we're covering also purchase side, lots of pages about that. Purchases by vendor analysis. We have purchase by product. We have purchase by period page. We have purchase by vendor location. Again, including maps showing us where do we purchase most from around the world. And that is also shown with the tree map view down here. It's also showing basically power of the Power BI pack that we can have. So if I click on any dot, we can see that all my visualizations are interconnected and are changing as I click. And we have a purchase spend analysis by time. We have also purchase spend analysis by vendor. So basically we have different ones, and then we can say procurement categories. We can say vendor groups. If I select vendor group 10, then it will show me data for that. Otherwise it's like that. Then we have also one for production performance, which many have been waiting for. And we have production variances here. It's basically production performance. Let's click on that. This is a production performance, number of productions by date, number of productions by product, and then planned productions by date. And as you can see, we can also select the products, we can select item groups, and we can also, with a two-dimensional slider, as we can on all our visualization, select the period of time that we are looking at. We have defects, production defects, and defects by products. We have a defects trend by product, which is shown with a scatter diagram, very nice. And then we can play over the time development. We have defects by resource. We have defects trend by resources, and we also have production variances for job order costing, which is a very nice visualization as well. All of that has massive data behind that customers can use to create their own Power BI visualization. So as I have said on the summit conference and the technical conference, I was giving some sessions around this. Then let's go into the warehouse performance power pack. So what we are trying to explain, this is just our vision of what visualizations you could have. But of course, all the data that it's behind the scenes, as we can see here on the right side, gives us possibility to create lots of other variations of the different BI visualizations. So it's just up to customer and partner imagination to build something else. And as Lars have been explaining before, you can always enrich AAX data warehouse with the new data and build new basically aggregations, then you can build your visualizations on the top of. So it is already very, very rich. As we can see here, we have lifted lots of data for, or building lots of data for the warehousing, but you can always make it even more rich by creating new. So time, it's limited. So let me walk you through the Power BI pack for warehousing. And it consists three pages. And the reason why it consists of three pages is that we have been doing extensive analysis. What kind of visualizations do we want to put there out of box? We could build more than we have, but we wanted to start somewhere. And as you have asked before, we will be building more and more, because now we have platform of just adding more data, first of all, and then also some visualizations as well to kind of show customers what you can get out of box, what we think you should have, but also to give them ability to build even more. But it's already very rich what we have published. So I will now try to walk you through what you're seeing on the screen for the warehousing performance. We have a shipping performance, which is an outbound, basically BI for the warehouse. We have an inbound performance showing how do we do on inbound side. And we have also what is going in-house, which is a inventory part, or in this case, it's a location inventory accuracy. These three pages and the visualizations on them are based on the research conducted with the SCORE model organization and as well VERC organization. So we have been closely following top 10 BIs for the warehousing published by the VERC organization for, I guess, 2015, 2016. And then we have selected the most important one that we think from that list, and we have made them available for our customers. So for the shipping part, as we can see, we have lines on the top. We have lines shipped. It's basically our shipments. For the period of time that I have selected on the left side, it's a from two. So it's a two-dimensional scale. So it can basically be very precise what period you are looking at. And then what we are measuring here is how do we ship early, on time, and late. As we can see, it's in percentage. And now looking into the theory books of outbound performance, we will see that lots of supply chain professors have been writing about something called DFOT, or delivered in full and on time. Well, that's based on when we deliver to a customer, did we deliver in full and on time? But however, many of the companies are not able to measure when the things are delivered and basically are not responsible for that, because shipping companies are responsible for that part. But what warehousing managers that we talk to are interested in, it's to measure how do they ship from the warehouse facility. Do they ship in the full and on time, which is very important? And then transportation companies will take over the responsibility for the rest of the part, which is delivering to the customer. So we have changed basically the theories from the book, saying that we think that more accurate measurement for the reality that it's out there, it's a ship in full and on time. So we call it CIFOT in Microsoft. And we have shipments over time shown here. And it's basically showing which one are shipped early, on time, and you have months. And it's standard in the Power BI that you can change how you view time. You can have weeks, you can have months, you can have years. And then we have a trend, which is a green line on the top, showing us once on time. And we can see we have a drop in January, and then it comes to the 75% again, based on the demo data that we have. So here I can basically track how good am I in shipping from the warehouse facility selected. On the left side, we have lines shipped in full. However, you sometimes want to measure on the everything, as I do currently. So both lines that are shipped in full and the ones that are not, the sales order lines. So, but I can also say, no, I only want to look on the lines that are shipped in full. And then I can see, am I shipping those too early, on time, or late? And I can do exactly the same for the ones that are not shipped in full, if I want to measure them individually. On the lower part, oh, let's just jump to the big map. We have a big map here. It's basically showcasing that we can include visualization of positioning, which is based on big maps. And in this case, we have visualized basically what towns and what cities we are affecting, and thereby customers, by shipping late.
Is that based on delivery address, or is it
yes, the warehouse? Yes, their delivery addresses. These are our customers. So I can go in any, the power of Power BI is that I can go to any of the visualization. I can export my data here. So, and then I will have an Excel sheet with the data for this selected period that is basically visualizing this. Then on the lower part, I have shipped by product, because sometimes you want to see, is there any product groups or products that are shipping in different than they should? And then I have a customer. Is there any particular customer that I'm shipping to that is affected by my early, late, or on-time shipments? And same goes for the site and warehouse. So it's basically measuring using the shipment lines and what we have shipped when you ship confirm using in the WHS, it's using that information behind the scenes to tell me how it's my outbound shipping performance. Jumping to the inbound, we also need to purchase and store goods at the warehouse. So that it's directly coming from the vendor. So we have an inbound performance. And as we can see on the top, what we are doing here, we are basically looking at the putaways. And when we say putaways, we know that WHS creates work. So from the default receiving area, you will have some putaway work. It can be one step, like pick from the default receiving area and put somewhere, or you could have multiple steps if you have some kind of staging. What we are measuring, it's from you register the goods when they arrive until the last step when the goods basically become available, when they are on stock. So we have had here in our data for the period that we're looking at, in the total 144 putaway work lines for putaway. And then here we measure our average time of putaway, which is basically dock to stock, also known as dock to stock. So right now we have an average putaway time from the registering of the goods until the last put has been conducted. It goes in average 3.47 hours. So 3 hours, 47 minutes. We have here decided to measure the vendor performance. Reason for that is that our average time will be closely connected how our performance is from the vendor. So if the vendor, let's say we are receiving goods too early from the vendor, of course that might affect our putaway average time, because I don't maybe have enough employees to do a putaway because I did not expect 5 containers this day, I received only 2. So that's why we need to know how our vendors are delivering against us. And we have received on time, and we have received late. Again, a slider to select the time. And then here we can select different warehouses, 24. And as seen, as soon as we select different warehouses, the data will change on the graphs. Then we have on time by vendor. We want to know which vendors and vendor groups are delivering on time or too early or late. And then here we have dock to stock average time development over time. So these are the hours again. And then down here, we are also measuring putaway hours by worker. Reason why we are doing that, imagine if we have a worker who is putting things in 15 minutes. So he has a dock to stock time 15 minutes. And all, each of the work putaway lines, we have, of course, worker ID, so we can easily construct this visualization. So if I know that my goods are being put away in around 3 hours because they need to be tested or counted and so on, and suddenly I have a worker who is doing that in the 15 minutes, obviously something is wrong. Or I could add somebody who has long average putaway time that could be lacking knowledge about how to operate machinery or some other reasons. We also have here average putaway hour by vendor, and this is to measure vendor groups and vendors, because I can go on the vendor level as well. So these are my vendors. I can always, you know, go from the one visualization to another and scale. And so let me just go to the reading. This is better. So I do exactly the same. So I will, these are the vendors. So what I can do is see, okay, how does vendor US105 doing and so on. I can view them all. And the reason for viewing by vendor it's and vendor group is to see, is there any vendor where my putaway time are very large or out of what I want them to be? That could be different packaging from the vendor. They are not putting the amount of the items that are stating on the labels and so on, so on. So it is basically to identify, do I have any problem with a particular vendor doing my dock to stock time? I can do that by the product as well, because you could be doing very well with a certain vendor, but there is a one single product that they deliver that it's not good. So you can measure that here. So that's what we did for the inbound part. But as I said, there's a lots of data that you can visualize too. And then here,
well, when you talk about data, just to show that, you could, if you, for example, right click a visualization here, if you just you could see show data of these data, then you would see all the data that is actually behind that visualization.
Right.
So this is, of course, a limited one, but it, there would be others where it will give more meaning to, and Mies also mentioned you could export the data from that single visualization to Excel.
Is this going to be embedded into the operations client?
Yes. So what you can do right now with the one with the packs you have, you can take a single visualization and embed it into a workspace, or you can add a link to the workspace for the whole report itself, including all pages. Going forward for 7.2, we are going to provide the option to have Power BI embedded, which means that you would be able to embed the whole report or a single page into a form or workspace itself.
Yeah, that was what was nice. Yeah, so that was what we were looking at on Summit EMEA, right, Mirza? That was what Sri was the
exactly showing? Yeah. Yes.
So,
exactly.
So we're talking about 7.2. That is the latest version that we've been shown lately, and this what we're looking at now is what is in production at the moment with update 4. So platform update 4 requires that is required for this, and then you can just go into to LCS and find these resources and try them out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I have to have asked the obvious question here. I'm assuming a lot of the text here are being harvested from AX, but some are not. Some are being customized while you develop this content pack. What about translations? Because now you're showing this in a Danish UI, but everything in the report itself is in English. What's the story there?
On labels, right?
Yeah.
There's really no good story.
Okay, I'm sorry for asking that, but okay.
Well, we are honest. We are from R&D, so we tell you as it is. So, okay, so then just to finalize my walkthrough, we also have selected to measure inventory location accuracy. So it's basically based on all of the counting work lines we have. And it tells us, is it any particular item? We can see that we've been counting 819 times. So it's basically one line, one product. And we can see discrepancies. We can see how many we have count without discrepancies. It's basically to figure out, is the on-stock information correct? I can also measure, is there any of employees who is making more deviations than the others? So either they are very good in counting or they might be even stealing the goods. Some do. And then I can also see item count by site warehouse, discrepancy rate by product and product groups. So it's basically all the counting and on-hand precision that is counted here. But again, it's just what we think should be there out of box, but customers and partners are welcome to change this using our data. And what I also want to address here is that when we show this during the conferences, basically people have been very delighted to get Power BI as a platform because it is really powerful, as Lars also explained, to visualize lots of things. And if we just go to the content itself, what also can be done? I want to go beyond the borders in this podcast and show you something. So now we have seen these out-of-box reports. However, we also can do, I just need to see if I have here. We have built a demo called heat map demo. So this is using third party, basically visualization. It's just to tell customers how powerful Power BI can be. So what have we done here? You see the basically blueprint of the warehouse, very simple one that we constructed. So what we see here, it's the just to show that not only Power BI packs are there, but we also have been playing with power of other library visualization, like the one here that I'm using. It's called Synoptic Panel from the library of Power BI. You can install it. It's already there. And when you do so, then as you can see, it gives you lots of things of how to saturate and how to show this heat map with the colors and whatnot. So going back to the read here, let me just say don't save. What we see here is the data that we dragged in. We have sales order numbers, we have production order numbers, we have work IDs. It's directly from the WHS work table. And then we also have here basically line. We have data with only few, but you can imagine more. So let's imagine that I'm doing location directives and work templates, which is a workflow that people are using to kind of construct different ways of picking and putting the goods in the warehouse. And sometimes could be hard to visualize what does it do when I have set it up. So imagine if you have a test environment connected to the Power BI, I can construct lots of work using my new setup. And I want to say, how does it visually affect warehouse? So what I have done here, I will also explain how I get this drawing to work as it does. It's a vector graphics, so I can zoom it in and out without losing my positioning of the fields. I can tell you how that is done. When I select my work here, as you can see, then it tells me that USMF work number 13 will be picking from location bulk 001 and my location bay door. It will be putting into the bay door, right? So then I could say, oh, right, it works. My setup works because I can see it is picking from the area that I was expecting it to pick from. However, I could have some other work. This one saying, oh, why on earth does it now pick from the FL001? So in this way, I can visualize for myself, basically it's connecting the data to the blueprint of the warehouse and giving the user this the mind picture of how things are going in on the floor itself. So I'm connecting data that sometimes could be hard to understand to the visualization of the warehouse. And how did I connect that to these small squares? It's very easy. If I go to a synoptic panel, it's called Synoptic Designer. And it can be used for anything else. So we have a Synoptic Designer for Power BI. It's a free tool to be used. And what you do here, you drag and drop an image or you import an image. It can be any kind of image. In my case, it was this image with just yellow fields. And in the Synoptic Designer, you can basically use, as soon as you import image, you will have a small wizard. And as soon as you touch these fields, the green ones, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, you can write what is the location ID. And then you do that once. And now you can, when you import that image in the Power BI using the synoptic control panel, then you can basically drag and drop any data here. It will connect the field, which is a basically ID of the location, to that data and visualize it for you. You can easily build, let's say, which locations do I count most? So you have a heat map, which is using color saturations to show that, and so on and so on. And we have a colleague who used exactly the same component to build a complete layout of the production shop floor, and then basically just drag and drop the data saying which machines did I have most defects on, which, and then you get this nice visual picture of what's going on in your production. It's very, very powerful tool. It's free to use because, as I said, Synoptic Designer can import any image. You can basically select any area of your image and say what ID that has. You import it back in the Power BI, and here you go. You just drag and drop data, and it visualizes for you what's going on. You can use it for any kind of heat map, color saturating visualization.
Yeah, most companies just normally have like a layout of their.
Oh yeah, every company who has a warehouse warehouse facility, they can export from AutoCAD layout of the warehouse. And when we had a hands-on lab during the technical conference back in Seattle this year, and it was basically completely fooled. It was sold out. We needed to refuse people to come into who wanted to see this heat map power of the Power BI, how easy it is to go to the Synoptic panel. And we have constructed a document that can be downloaded from the presentations of that, from the Seattle conference. And people can then follow that step-by-step hands-on lab, how to do this. And it's really, really powerful. So this just shows how powerful Power BI can be for many, many things, not only what we have launched in these Power BI packs, but also the other visualizations.
So it's more about kind of leveraging the power of BI. Power BI is gaining access to data in a simple way to end users and let them play around with the easy to create reporting tools. And then having them build kind of what they want, just at a whim. So this is, yeah.
Exactly. And here I'm looking to the production performance Power BI, and just looking quickly on the data, we see here that we have planned production, production orders, production variances, products reported, and finished productions, requirement dates, resources, and whatnot. And each of these contains a lots of calculations and data that can be just drag and drop. So you can, it's really only imagination setting the borders of what you can do here.
Yeah, but
and having it in the coming versions, having this all then being able to be shown and published in the AX or Dynamics 365 operation itself, and then from there even jump directly into the forms and see the data will of course be very powerful.
Yeah, I don't see any technical reasons why you couldn't pull out this and show it directly into Microsoft Teams. I'm not sure if you're using that today, but we are using Microsoft Teams a lot. We're in Oxdata, and pulling in Power BI reports directly into Microsoft Teams. Have you used that at all? No.
I know. We could do that, but we haven't done that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So just to add on to what Mirza showed here with the heat map thing, that is just one of many custom visualization that exist. So what we are using for our content pack is basically the standard visualizations, which are out of the box in the desktop tool. Then we have added this single heat map visualization, which is part of something called a custom visualization gallery. And you would see a lot of different visualization you could use, some of the developed by Microsoft, but also third party vendors are doing these things, and it has a lot of power, and you can even develop your own visualizations if you want to do that. So it's a pretty open thing to go into.
Yeah,
it sounds like something you perhaps want to blog about, Mirza. I don't know.
Yeah, we are preparing the blog. Basically, we have already described, as I said, in Hands-On Lab, how to do this step by step. How do you use Synoptic Designer for Power BI? And when you do your visualization and you do your data connections, then you just go in and import. So basically, any business user can do that. You don't need to have any development or any other knowledge about SQL or anything else. And that's why it was so popular, because it's really powerful. So we will publish that as a blog soon, yes. And I guess Lars and engineering team will also be publishing in the future technical documentations how you build your own visualizations.
So yeah, something that I always when you get these finished reports and everything is done out of the box, when we talk about out of the box reporting, we also talk about having to use the entities and using the system the way that Microsoft intended it to be used. So it's both a good thing and a kind of a bad thing, because I think that some people are using it differently. So if you wanted to use all these shipments and all these tools that you are, you would have to use WHS, you would have to use shipments, you would have to use all this functionality that is kind of maybe not everybody uses. So it's a two-way system. You also are forced to kind of start using new functionality and using it the way that Microsoft uses it. For instance, we use the product groups a bit differently than Microsoft, because it also entails a lot of posting setup. So we normally defer to use it as a grouping of items, but more as a financial dimension to set up posting, inventory posting. So
that's correct. That's also how it is meant to be used. And we have then product attributes, but basically the why we selected it as it is, because product attributes can be set up in various ways.
Yeah.
And somebody has 70 of these, somebody has 3. So it will be wrong from our side to have an out-of-box visualization to kind of in the kind of non-controlled environment, right, of not knowing how many and how this setup it look like. But there is nothing preventing you to have that instead of product groups. So it's just we should see the Power BI packs that we have now launched as our first, as Lars also said, our first first version of what we think could be there out of box. And beauty of it is that any business user can basically change any of these visualizations, remove it, create a new, and then add it, as Lars has been explaining, to the dashboard. So yeah, basically yeah, any...
That was kind of my next step now, is that you have, if you're not using that as a grouping, well, if you're not using product groups as your grouping of items, but you use another field, or you added something, or you use something, it's actually quite simple to just, you pick another field by the grouping on this chart, and there you go. It's the way you want it. So it's a very, very short way to get the visualizations that you need based on what you've already created here. So it's a very good start. Yeah.
I just have one comment to that, which I also mentioned a little earlier, that so for example, for the warehouse pack we created here, we try to create, for example, for the work lines, we try to include more or less every field that are related to the work and the work lines, which so we are not limiting the use of the Power BI to not have access to a given field. It could be the zone, it could be the frozen field, anything like that. The idea here is, of course, then to only use the fields that you want to use. So you base might exclude 80% of the fields whenever you create your Power BI report, but it should be available to you. And going forward with the new entities and the new aggregated measurements we are creating, we would try to include as much as possible there, which of course will take a little longer to publish the data, but accessing it then would be better that way, because you only use maybe 20% of the fields.
So what I also wanted to share with you, this is just a short or one of the pictures recorded during the hands-on lab on the Power BI for the heat maps. So using the different controls and building on your own. And what was very amazing that it's so easy to use compared to some other hands-on lab that we held before or before in time. So if you look closely, there was no any single user who did not succeed within that under 1 hour, basically, to construct the image, construct the areas on the image, export that SVG file, import it in the Power BI, and then do their heat map. So just tells you how easy it's to build very, very powerful visualization if somebody who never tried it could do this within the 1 hour.
Cool. Mm. Very cool. And as you said, you don't have to use it only for your warehouse. You can also use it for manufacturing or anything else that you kind of, as long as you get a map that you can put into the system, and that would be quite easy.
Basically, you can visualize whatever you want. Well, yeah. I mean, you can build any UML based diagram in Visio and do exactly the same. It's just a question of how you name your areas, and then you just drop the data into it, and that's it.
Mm. Perfect. Very lovely. Cool. Well, thank you very much, guys. That was a very good demo. Maybe we should catch up on the other things. Lars, you can go in and do more details on the reports another time.
But, yeah, I will. There's a lot of things to explain and show on how to construct the different reports and pages, and how to link things together, how the relation are built between the tables and views we are publishing, and the whole DAX language itself is a big story. There's also a lot around. I mentioned a couple of things about performance, but there's a lot more to consider when thinking about performance. The security itself, we mentioned that shortly. There's a whole story for that as well. So there's plenty of stuff to start on.
But it's early days still. It's like your first. You just released it, so you get some passes on if not everything's in place at once, right? So we're looking forward to seeing how this develops.
I'm curious to see how people who have developers who have already invested a lot in understanding how to build this in X and previous versions of AX, how they can continue the story into Dynamics 365 for operations and still be BI champs and create nice reports and through Power BI.
Yeah, so it's still building on the perspectives and it's deploying this into a new database. But how does it differ? Why isn't the other databases that are there used for this? Like, we have the replication database for reporting, and you have your common data service, and you have the entity store, and now we have the AX data warehouse. So we have a lot of databases to find data in, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But why did we go for another route? Is there a reason why one or the other? Is it performance, or was it like we needed a new database to?
No, I actually don't know the full story for why. I think for the data warehouse, I think that's a common way of handling these things, that you replicate your transaction and operational data into another database where you are not querying and not interfering with the daily operations. I'm not the expert on explaining exactly why you pick one or the other, but I think there's some good reasons why you don't want to interfere with the relational data.
Well, we started sort of like the journey on building Power BI content packs, but we were limited to the entity store, right? So that was kind of the story now, and now we have the data warehouse. So that's, if you're gonna build content packs, where would you would this is the way to go, right? So you go with the data warehouse, you set up the perspectives, and then you export it into this, and then you can access it through Power BI. Is that the new way of handling this?
So there's actually nothing preventing you from doing a Power BI report against your transactional or daily database. You can access, so you saw when I was getting the data, I could just specify any server and a database. So it's more to kind of, of course, it's related a lot to security and performance, these things that you just want to query against a database that is not a part of the daily operations, yeah. So you don't interfere with that. And I think that's one of the main reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Lars. Yeah, we hope to get to pick your brain again when this is further developed. And thank you very much for a great demo, Mirza. It was
no problem.
Interesting to see kind of the decisions behind why the illustrations are the way that you had. And as you said, you used another organization for default metrics that you implemented. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, exactly. And as we know, you know, in the previous role centers that we had, it was really static. So it was really hard for users to do new visualization, but Power BI gives us new possibility that we can do our samples and launch it, and then people can either accept it or they can build whatever they want.
It's an awesome story. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. Have a nice evening. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.